Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and if it is the fourth Tuesday of each month from 2 to 3, it is Profit Player featuring Scotty Sachs. Scotty, how are you?
Good afternoon, David. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am great, and it's so exciting to have you on again because you have a lot of great information. Also, congratulations for going 5-0 on this Breakthrough Sports, the lock and load top NFL picks of the week.
Not a bad little week did we have, huh?
That is phenomenal. I was thinking, you know, I was tracking all the games, and you are so good at that because these are not easy picks, and maybe we'll be talking about that tomorrow on the sports show. But it's amazing how well, how much you know about the NFL. Pretty impressive.
Well, it's like anything else, including what we'll talk about today, Dave. It's all about how much you put in to something, and that's what you get back out. And I have put a lot of time over the years into studying the game of football, not just as a fan and enjoying the game as a fan, but trying to learn something from the game, both on and off the field. And as you start to dig in and look at teams and not just their record or their stats, but sort of go in inside the locker room and look at the psyche of the teams, which by the way, anybody can do today. There's a lot of video online that'll take you inside a locker room, and more often than not, that's how I do it. Now, there's a couple of teams where I have a contact that is regularly reporting on that team, and they're inside the locker room, and they'll feed me some good info. But by and large, it's just, what you put in terms of the work, the effort is what you get back out. And so today, I hope that that's evident. I hope that our audience can tell that what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to share 7 secrets of negotiating. Now, the secrets I'm going to share to negotiating are those I've used over the years negotiating in my business, primarily media and marketing deals, whether it be negotiating a $500,000 radio deal with Sirius Radio or negotiating a promotion with a sports organization, putting together a sponsor with a sports promotion, let's say with the Arizona Cardinals or the Chicago Cubs, what have you. There's a lot of marketing and sports go together and a lot of money spent on sports marketing. So regardless of where I've applied those negotiations, the 7 secrets I'm going to share today, and they're really not secrets. It just sounds good, doesn't it?
Well, I think it sounds great, but we should point out to the listeners that you have a lot of experience. I want to say, 30 years in media alone? And that gives you the qualifications to really share this information.
Yeah, I will get into that today, and thank you for pointing that out. But I'm going to sort of approach this, I hope, in a more interesting way than me sitting here telling people about my life and my experience. So let me start with a story, because this really is going to set the stage. This is the story, Dave, of what really sort of drew me in to the art of negotiation. And it was as a young teenager in 1972, it was the summer, I made the decision to hang out with my father instead of hanging out with my friend. I hung out with my dad and traveled with him on business. And probably the best decision I ever made. I was 13 years old, and while everybody was spending their summer having fun, I was having more fun.
Wow, that's unusual. A young guy like you.
What's that?
So you were so young but made a nice decision for yourself at a young age.
You know, it seemed like a heck of an opportunity. It didn't seem to be a that big of a decision. And interestingly enough, I had two brothers, and my dad offered the same opportunity each summer to my brothers, and they all turned it down. I was the only one of the three that said, yes, I'll spend the summer hanging out with you. And that meant, like, doing what he did, packing a bag and traveling on the road. And I lived his life for the summer. And the story I'm going to tell occurred in the office of a guy I think you're going to remember, Art Linkletter.
Oh, you're kidding.
So my dad was doing some media deals, and he shared office space with Art Linkletter, and the office was on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles.
So oh, yes.
Here I was, 13 years old, getting on a plane from Chicago to L.A., going to an office of a guy who I knew nothing about. So going to Art Linkletter's office meant nothing to me at 13. I didn't know who he was. I didn't care who he was. You know, and it was only later that I learned this was a legend in broadcasting. Art Linkletter was the man that produced popular shows like People Are Funny and House Party. And if you remember I think his most popular television was the famous segment he did, Kids Say the Darndest Thing.
Yeah,
you remember that?
I do remember that. Wow.
That was with him and four kids on stage. He would ask them questions, just put the mic in front of them and let them talk. So anyway, Art Linkletter in his office, there were three other people present beside my dad and I in this meeting, a television legend that my dad was producing TV for, a guy named Arthur Godfrey.
Oh, yeah.
A singer, actress, and comedian that won three Tony Awards named Carol Channing.
Wow.
And a NBC television executive that was in the sales business development for NBC. And they were there, my dad was there, to negotiate airtime to put a television show on air. And what really, Dave, today is known as an infomercial, a 30-minute television show designed to sell something. So my dad is way ahead of his time, and they did not call it an infomercial back then. They called this show a variety and entertainment show, because what they did is they packaged entertainment and comedy and a lot of celebrities around the sales pitch. And so they were there to negotiate an hour block of time with NBC, and my dad's partners were Linkletter and Godfrey. Carol Channing was, I think, the hostess of the show or something like that. There was a reason she was in the meeting. I don't frankly remember, other than she was in the show. So my dad was conducting the negotiation, and as the mood went from very fun-loving and having a good time in just minutes, it turned really serious and quiet. And here I am sitting there thinking to myself, this must be really serious business. Like, these people went from having fun, talking amicably to each other, and all of a sudden, my dad and this guy from NBC were staring each other down, and it got very serious. And so basically what was happening was, in the negotiation, my dad was positioning and getting ready to pull off a really interesting tactic, which I'm about to tell you about. So my father was in the middle of this negotiation with his business associates around him, and these associates were, in their day, say, Linkletter and Godfrey and Channing were fairly famous people, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So he's surrounded by his associates and trying to make a deal for everybody. I mean, this was a joint venture for everybody. So he leans forward, and this is what I remember. After it got real serious, my father looked at all of his associates one at a time, right in the eye, and then he looked at the guy from NBC, and he said, "The meeting's over. We're too far apart." He packs up all of his stuff, puts it in his briefcase. He shook everybody's hand amicably, thanked them for their time, and we left the conference room. Of course, I'm, you know, following my dad out the door. We started to get into the limousine, and back then everybody did limousines. It was no big deal. I mean, it was just the way you traveled in L.A. on business. Started to get into the limousine, and lo and behold, as we're getting in, the guy from NBC, this VP of sales, comes running out after us, and he says, "Wait, Ed, my dad was, his name was Ed. He said, "Wait, Ed, I think NBC would be willing to reconsider your terms. Can we continue the meeting over lunch?" And so my father said simply, "I'm willing to listen. Sure, let's go have lunch." So now, Dave, you're in business a lot of years. You know what my dad just pulled on this guy was nothing more than a tactic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. And that takes a lot of confidence on your dad's part. And I have to congratulate him on that.
Well, and it's a valuable lesson. And when we get into the seven secrets, then you'll see how this plays into one of my seven tactics that, in fact, I believe you have to be willing to walk from a deal. And I'll hold off on the rest of that conversation. So we went to lunch. And on the way there in the limousine, my father explained to me that this was just something he did, that he did over the years in the course of a negotiation, and that he had done it over and over. And he said, "Scott, 9 out of 10 times this works. And if they don't follow you out to the parking lot, which they generally do to get you back to the table, you will get a phone call within 24 hours after walking from the party. And they will have this conciliatory phone call." So this guy didn't wait. He followed us right out to the limousine. We went off to lunch, and they actually put together the deal. Clearly this guy had the authority to act on behalf of NBC. He was their vice president of business development. I can't remember the terms and how far apart they were. Frankly, it all happened so fast. As a 13-year-old, I was sitting there thinking to myself, you know, what can I learn from this when I get back home? And I had to pitch in a baseball game, in an all-star game when I was going back home. I was on a traveling baseball all-star team, and I was pitching, and I'm like, how can I learn from this as a pitcher? Is there something here I can use to outsmart batters? And I never did make the connection, by the way, between that event and pitching. And my baseball career never went very far. So
that might have been the key.
So in any event, that little incident on Wilshire Boulevard in L.A. in 1972 really drew me in. As my dad explained to me in the limo what he had done, I thought, wow, this is really cool. I mean, that this is, you know, this is stuff that people do in business, and this is... In effect, I walked away going, so this is how business works. I had that aha moment, that light went off, that breakthrough. I'm like, this is how business works. And I liked what I saw. And basically, 7 years later, upon completing my college education at the amazing, just phenomenal, renowned, storied Northern Illinois University, not really amazing and renowned university, by the way. But I could not get into the University of Illinois, by the way, where I wanted to go, and I could not play baseball for the University of Florida, where I wanted to really go to school and play baseball, because, as I said, my baseball career wasn't going anywhere. So,
but you did learn a valuable lesson, and a lesson that we'll talk more about Let's take a quick break now, Scotty, and we'll be right back to continue our discussion with Scotty Sachs, The Seven Secrets to Negotiating. That's an important skill. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. That was like Paul Harvey. I think he was from Chicago, Scotty. Paul Harvey, good day, and we'll be right back.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Vorostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Profit Player featuring Scotty Sachs. And Scotty, that was what a valuable lesson at a young age. Your dad must have been a really great guy, by the way.
My dad was an awesome guy. May he rest in peace. He really, you know, if everybody could have a mentor like I had with my father, you know, I feel so fortunate to have been able to share that, not only that summer with him, but as I graduated college and started my own business, for a number of years, he and I shared office space, and he was my, of course, my confidant and advisor, and helped me with a lot of different decisions along the way. And so he was always there, and, you know, just sharing office space, knowing he was there is amazing. And when I think about those years, you know, they're forever cherished. How many people get to have that experience with their one of their parents in life? And he was a fantastic guy. Everybody loved my dad, and you know, frankly, Arthur Godfrey didn't need another television producer. My dad got to Godfrey very late in Godfrey's career, and Godfrey was surrounded by a lot of TV producers, media guys like my dad. So my dad was able to win him over and get his business. And that's just because not only was he, you know, smart about his approach, and not only was he a great communicator with people, but he knew what he was doing. He really understood his craft, and it all started. I won't get into it, but it all started in a jewelry business. He was a costume jewelry manufacturer, and the short story is he had an ad agency and was using an ad agency to do a lot of the marketing for his jewelry company. And that's where he met Carol Channing. He created a line of simulated diamonds. And if you recall, Carol Channing's, what was her famous song? Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
So
yes.
He hired her as a spokesperson for his simulated line of diamonds. And true story, in the middle of production of the TV ads and all the marketing materials, the president of the ad agency came up to my dad, and he said to my dad, Ed, you are better at this than we are. You don't even need us. You're so good at your marketing, and you have such a good feel for it that, I'm not so sure I want to take fees from you anymore. You're teaching us. I told him, you're teaching us a thing or two, and just being able to hang out with you and learn from you, we should be paying you. Now, how many ad agencies, anybody listening who's ever worked with an ad agency, ad agencies are akin to a law firm. A good lawyer never, ever shows weakness, right?
Right.
And a good ad agency never shows a weakness. And the president of this ad agency literally let his guard down and said to my dad, we're learning from you. And he was ready to resign the account and give my dad all the fees back. And my dad said, no, I need help, and I can't do it all myself. So anyway, I'm going to get into what led up to, because you talked about my 30, what's going on 32 years now. My very humble beginnings, even though I had a father that, was in the business, he was smart enough. Absolutely give him all the credit in the world. He was smart enough not to put his name and his business out there for me. What he did give me was sort of an umbrella in terms of operating. If I needed, lines of credit or stuff, I could use his business name. But other than that, I was on my own. And so what I did, coming out of college, Dave, with a BS, and we all know what a BS degree stands for. I had a Bachelor of Science in Marketing with a minor in Public Relations, but I already knew what I wanted to do. I did a bunch of homework about the Chicago advertising community, and what I found out was that there was a huge opportunity for what is known even today as a media buying or media management company. It was a huge opportunity for somebody to show small to mid-sized companies how to use television and radio. And you could say, well, what did I know at 20? I was 20 years old, Dave, when I got out of college.
Wow, you're on the fast track.
Yeah, what could a 20-year-old show, experienced seasoned business owners about marketing and media? Anyway, I don't know if I was dumb, had big kahunas. I don't know, maybe a combination of both. But I just started a company, and I went out. And at first, I handled TV and radio media buys for small local advertisers in Chicago. They ranged from trade schools that did like a business school and a truck driving school and car dealerships, retail stores. And I would negotiate their advertising and their media buy, produce their TV spots through all the production I learned from working with my dad. And I'd work with the local Chicago radio and TV stations and put together these media campaigns. And in the process, I started to learn to apply my dad's negotiating skill sets that he taught me. And by 1985, just 4 years out of college, I landed my first national account, and I really began to diversify the business and handle all types of media negotiations, from sponsorship deals with the professional sports teams to negotiating with Disney for promotions with Disney on Ice, and continued to expand our media business. Now, in building a business, success doesn't come easy, and like most small business owners, I struggled. And over the 32 years, it's been a long, it's been a long road. I think the Grateful Dead said what a long, strange trip it's been. But it's really, as you could testify in your business, even in the good years, Dave, we have a lot of struggles, don't we, as business owners?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you got to keep on top of everything. So, you know, the business owners as well as athletes or anyone in life who really rest on their past successes, it will be the past because you got to keep on top of things in good years, especially in good years, I think. Don't you think, Scotty?
Absolutely. And, you know, so like most small business owners, and I was really young, and so I had even probably a greater climb up that mountain, but I struggled with managing my business. I mean, my business management skills were lacking in many areas, and I never had any investor capital. I did it all from the cash flow of the company and unpredictable economies. And then in the 90s, technology changed everything, and boy, that was really huge adjustment going from traditional broadcast media and the traditional media world to adopting technology-enabled marketing. And on many past shows, as you know, I've talked at length about technology-enabled marketing. And fortunately, again, by studying and learning and applying some of the things that that we've done for our clients, today we have a better handle on that. But every day is a challenge. However, through it all, I think I've developed some really good marketing fundamentals and a very proven process for negotiating all types of things. I mean, I don't care if you're negotiating a lease with your landlord, you're negotiating on a purchase of a home, or my day-to-day, you know, negotiations in my business. These seven things we're going to talk about, these seven secrets, as I call them, they really apply to any sort of negotiation. And I think that this is one of three or four things that's allowed me to outlast many small advertising and media buying firms, and even some big ones. I can tell you our industry has consolidated. A lot of companies have gone by the wayside. They've churned and burned their clients, and they've lost their business. And I'm happy to say that our core client base in my media business, I have some of the same clients today that I landed in those first few years out of college.
See, that's
literally
a great testimonial for you. I mean, stability and the fact that you had to be very successful for them. They have to like you to spend, 28 years with you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, one client that we just did a $500,000 deal with Sirius Radio to generate leads for condominiums they're buying all over the country from banks in distress, foreclosed properties. They've been with us 25 years, and I'm about to release an information product in which that client participates in a lot of the content and has given me some great testimonials. But anyway, after negotiating with today, sort of did the math, and, from 1981 to date, we're somewhere about over $500 million, about halfway to $1 billion, actually over $500 million. But that's how much media and marketing dollars we've controlled for our clients. That's a lot of money.
That is huge. And why don't we take a quick break and we'll get right into the seven secrets. But that's a huge amount, over $500 million or media dollars, I should say. Another great testimonial to you, Scotty. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on the seven secrets to negotiating anything, not just media. These are great techniques. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business, 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Profit Players starring Scotty Sachs. And Scotty, boy, I think we got the listeners really curious now about what these 7 secrets are. I know I'm curious, and I can't wait.
Well, I'm going to get into them, but first I want to just throw out the sort of the framework of how, over the 30-plus years, I've developed this system that comprises these 7 secrets and talk about some of the notable clients that I've applied this to. And so people understand that this is not theory. This is not, a concept that I'm about to get into. It's real-life stuff, and I'm going to tell you who I've applied this to. So let me just get into the list of clients, starting with Toshiba Corporation, International Fortune 500. When Toshiba released their home satellite theater system, I was fortunate enough to get the business and negotiate the media for their dealer group around the country that was selling their home satellite theater systems. I've worked extensively over the years with Sears Home Improvement. That's a tough negotiation because the Home Improvement division of Sears just licenses their name, the Home Improvement companies. But as you can imagine, Dave, that's all about lead generation and making the phone ring, generating leads for window companies, siding companies, roofing companies, all that use the Sears brand. Some of my more fun work has come with HBO and some of their movie releases, promotional campaigns for Nissan Parts and Service. We created a campaign called The Best Ticket in Town, Nissan Parts and Service, and it involved basically a free 16-point inspection of your vehicle, and when you came in and you got two free tickets to some local event in your city, sporting event, theater, ballet, whatever it was, and we negotiated all those tickets as part of the deal. Maybe the most fun I've had in my media business was working with Johnny Cash, just because he is such a cool guy, and I'm sure you remember him.
Well, I love that movie, Walk the Line, remember?
Absolutely.
Tremendous movie, and it really gave me much better insight into him and his life. I had no idea. Excellent movie.
What really struck me about Johnny is he and his wife, June, I believe her name was June.
Yeah, June Carter.
June Carter. They were truly soulmates, and to see them backstage before shows was, I got a chance to go to a lot of his concerts, but I negotiated some of his radio syndication. And as a result of that, Kenny Rogers' record label had approached me, and I'd done a lot of work over the years for his record label, Kenny Rogers. Clint Black, he somehow made a mark in the country music industry. Nationwide Auto Insurance, a great company that delivers auto insurance to millions of car drivers. And then a whole lot of retail, including a 900 retail store franchise company that franchises Played Again Sports and Once Upon a Child, which are new and used recycling of your merchandise. So anyway, that's just sort of the backdrop of some of the clients I've applied these seven secrets to. The net result of the negotiations, the part that's really gratifying is, and this is something that I did not actually ever think about myself, Dave, to show you how I walk around in the dark sometimes. One of my clients had to tell me, he said, you know, Scotty, do you realize that together we've done billions of dollars in sales as a result of our work together? That's gratifying. And so the result of this $500 million in media negotiations is just billions of dollars in sales. And that's what makes, I believe, my seven secrets a credible, real life practical system. So let me get right into it now with the rest of the time we have. Starting with secret number one. And Dave, when you walk into a room and you're going to try to sell somebody in a sales presentation, what's the first thing you do in a sales presentation?
Well, what I do, what I think is important from my NLP training is I always get rapport, get to know the person, come across, of course, which, you know, anything I do is sincere, but to really be interested in them. And that creates a bond, the trust, rapport building skills, I think, is very important. That's how I approach it. How about you?
Well, Dave Isaac, B-I-N-G-O, bingo.
Oh, right.
My first tip, my first secret is what I call warm up your opponent. Now, I'm going to call the person you're negotiating with, for lack of a better word, your opponent, because I view it like a football game. It is your opponent. You got to win. You're trying to win the negotiation. Actually, you're trying to create a win-win, as you'll see through the seven secrets. But warming up your opponent, and if you think of it just like a sales situation, as you just said, building rapport. So I start with asking questions about the person and getting to know them. My first question is usually, you know, to ask the person to tell me about their background. And you know how people love to talk about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so getting them to talk about themselves and tell me about themselves puts them at ease and puts them in a position where they feel like we're already bonding. The other thing you can do for our listeners out there is if you're negotiating with somebody and you're in their office, look around their office. Look for some clues, pictures of their family. Great way to strike up that rapport or warm them up. Ask them about their family. I was once in a guy's office that was literally wall-to-wall mounted with his trophies from his hunting. So he had everything from big bear to lion heads mounted on his wall. And by the way, he had paid $50,000 a crack. I forgot what they call that process of cleaning up the animal and getting them ready to mount. But so I asked him, you know, about his hunting. And boy, you know, we didn't even get into the negotiation for an hour. He talked about hunting for an hour.
Yeah, you could if you tap into someone's passion, they light up, I'll tell you.
So when they start telling you something about themselves, you really start to take control. And it's subtle, but you're taking control right there and then. You got to keep it real, and you got to keep it personable. It can't be, you know, it can't be a facade. It can't be fake. It can't come off insincere. And I think most of us have the ability to pull that off sincerely. And so you're making friends and influencing the negotiation right off the bat. So that's secret number one. And you called it, Dave. So let me go on to secret number two. Inevitably, when you're negotiating, especially with media and marketing, and in many things you negotiate, you are going to have a budget where you're negotiating based on a dollar amount. Now, that dollar amount, in many cases, can be broken down in chunks, or it can be put into one big bag of money, as I like to call it. And so in the case of advertising and media, a lot of companies negotiate their media week to week or month to month. Huge mistake. You want to negotiate as far out in advance with as big a budget as possible. And so I aggregate all the dollars available. And now, this too, you got to be realistic. You can't use pie-in-the-sky numbers. But if you can leverage all of the money available in a budget for whatever it is you're negotiating. And again, with media, you know, we have budgets for, if I'm sitting down with, like I did with Sirius Radio, I knew I had $500,000. Now, I could have negotiated month to month and limited my client's risk in terms of making a commitment for $500,000. That was a big commitment. I could have negotiated $50,000 at a time and said, well, we're going to try, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks of advertising and spend $50,000, and you have to produce results before I give you the next, you know, before I write another check. But instead, I went with the full Monty and the full bag of money, and I went to them with the $500,000, and that produced the best deal, the best advertising rates in this case, and basically, it allows you to take this long-term commitment and leverage the dollars for a better deal. And some of our listeners might be concerned that, well, wait a minute, I'm making this big commitment, and if you're using this big budget, you know, are you stuck in that commitment? And the answer is absolutely not. You have to position it as a plan. You have to position it as, this is my intention. This is what I intend to do, and I reserve the right to make changes along the way. And in the case, again, of media, I can change my plan and change my budget and change the deal along the way. So it's not like you're stuck and locked into the commitment you've made. And as long as you're fair and reasonable about the changes you make along the way, you can do that. So leverage your budget as realistic as possible. Don't be pie in the sky. Be fair. Keep it realistic. But leverage your entire negotiation with as much dollars as you can. How does that sound to you, Dave?
I like it, because if you think about it, if you start too small, first of all, it's probably not beneficial to your client, but also try to increase it. So if you go to the full menu and then maybe pare down or pare back, it's going to be much more, from a psychological point of view, much more, much easier, I think, to work with someone under those circumstances.
You got it. So for the sake of time, I'll keep moving along. Negotiating secret number three, Know your desired outcome or objective and have some benchmarks. Know what you want to accomplish. Benchmarks can be stated in different ways. Your objectives can be set in different ways. Again, if it's media and marketing, you know, we typically have cost per lead or cost per thousand goals. I'm not going to get into any of that, but, you know, you got to know what you want before you sit down in a negotiation. You've got to think through what it is you want the outcome to be. You have to manifest the outcome by knowing what you want the outcome to be and share that up front with the person, your opponent, you're negotiating with. Say, this is what I'm hoping to achieve in the negotiation. This is what I want the outcome to be. And if it's a landlord and you're negotiating a lease, let them know, this is what I'm hoping to do. I'm hoping to negotiate a 3-year lease. I'm hoping to spend X amount of dollars. And frankly, based on the market, you know, this is what I think I should be paying on a cost per square foot. In my case with media, I let them know up front exactly what our measuring sticks are for media performance, and I lay those on the table, so I let them know our desired outcome or objective. I'm going to keep moving, Dave. Unless you have any questions, feel free to stop.
No, that's totally agree. Anything in life, not just negotiation, always know what you want. That's a basic NLP presupposition. Nice job, Scotty.
Let me say this to those of you listening. All of this is something you already know. And I know you know this. I know everybody knows everything I've talked about. Everybody knows you warm up your opponent in a negotiation or in a sales situation. Everybody knows you try to leverage a negotiation with all the money and all the resources you can. Everybody knows you got to know your outcome. Everybody knows this stuff, but nobody applies it into a system. So I'm trying to put these 7 secrets of negotiating out there so that people can put it into a system. And before we end today, make sure, Dave, I give out my contact info. We have a video that we've shot, the 7 secrets of negotiating, and it is, again, specific to media and advertising, but it can be used for negotiating anything. That video is going to be a free video. It's premium content that I've created. I'm going to put it out on the Profit Player website. Anyone can go out, simply leave us your email address and get that video for free.
Wow.
So this,
that's excellent.
This is going to be, you know, permanent record, and video learning is always a great way to learn. So secret number 4, just as you have a desired outcome, so does your opponent. And if they're, assume your opponent is shrewd and is sharp, and they too have their objective, simply ask them, what is it you want to get out of this negotiation? And I want to help you achieve your outcome too without sacrificing my objectives. I want to help you achieve yours. That's that win-win spirit right there, and that really, just like the opening warm-up and getting to know them and, you know, getting that warm-up going, this also makes people feel comfortable. You really put people at ease when you ask them, what's your objective? And you let them know that you want to achieve their objective, too, and ask them what's important to them. So that's secret number 4. Secret number 5, you've got to know something about the competitive environment. So if you're negotiating, in my case, media, there's always competitive media. There's always competitive other advertising outlets. And I always know what the competition is. So I know that the person I'm negotiating with has to be in the ballpark, and I know the landscape of the industry I'm negotiating with. So again, I'm going to keep using negotiating a lease because everybody in business does it. So if you're going to go negotiate a lease, don't go in blind. Go do some homework. Know what the area is commanding that you want your office space in on a cost per square foot basis. Know what if you're going for A or B real estate or C real estate, know what the competition's doing. If you're going to negotiate, let's say, a home, what does a realtor do? He gets the comps, right? He gets the comps for that area. What has recently sold? What is the most recent, you know, comparable sale prices? So there's always information available so that you know something about the competitive environment. And that, my friend, Mr. David, is secret number five.
Which is very critical. Totally agree. And if you don't understand the market, how do you know when something's a good deal? You have no baseline to judge it from. Nice secret.
The next one I love, and it's one, and this is the one, and I said everybody knows all this, and I really do believe that. The next one sometimes does get overlooked, and some people may not be aware of this one, and it's really one of my favorite because it's another tactic that creates trust on the part of your opponent, and it creates complete a complete sense of accountability, and that is, in simply one word, confidentiality. Assure your opponent that whatever deal you strike, you are going to keep it to yourself. You're not going to share it with anybody. One of the fears that anybody has in giving you a good deal is that you're going to go around town and tell other people, right? And David, you negotiate on a lot of fronts in your business, and you don't want somebody you're negotiating with telling others about the outcome of the deal you made with them. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, from, well, all aspects. You know, I have several businesses, but especially, you know, with the CPA, not especially, but, you know, there's a code of ethics that you can't breach any confidence with clients.
Yes, and I think when you tell the person you're negotiating with, look, I'm going to keep whatever we do confidential, and I'm going to keep it confidential for two reasons. Number one, I want to protect you, and I don't want you to get hurt. Number two, I don't want other people to get the deal because it's going to cause the market. It's going to create the supply and demand curves to change. So keeping it confidential, really, really important, and it goes a long way. And, you know, I've watched the body language of people, especially in the media business, because media guys are always afraid that somebody else is going to find out that they gave you a better deal. So, for example, I might be negotiating for spots on Sirius Radio, on CNN and Fox News, and I can tell you my rate is so low on a cost per spot basis that if I shared it with the world, I would jeopardize not only my credibility with Sirius, but I would upset the whole supply and demand and the whole way in which media is transacted. So Sirius knows that the deal I have, which is a very select group of marketers and advertisers that even have this deal, they know I'm not going to talk about it to anyone but my client that is advertising on Sirius Radio. So confidentiality, people. The last one, number seven, and I'm going to come full circle back to my father, Ed, and I'm a little choked up when I think about this because I think about that day when I was 13 and that whole experience, and I remember my dad so fondly. Secret number seven, be prepared to walk. Listen, no one deal you're ever going to negotiate is that important. No one deal is going to make or break your business. And if you can go in and sit down at the table and you are prepared to walk because you know I don't need this deal. I can live without it. I don't care what it is. I can live without the deal and without this company and without whatever it is I'm negotiating. It's a house, it's a lease, it's media, it's an automobile, negotiating a car. I would use these seven, I'm going to use this seven secrets to negotiate a vehicle. And be prepared to walk. And I did it on a car deal. I once bought a car for my, I don't know which wife, I can't keep track. I didn't say that, did I? No, it was
yes,
first,
she did.
It was my first wife. I bought her a Toyota Celica, and I drove an hour from home because I knew the dealer, and he knew me, and he knew that I was going to keep it confidential. I was going to use fair practices in negotiating, and he also knew that I'd walk if he didn't get my price. And basically, I was about to walk when he went in his back room and he pulled out this huge 3-foot rusty nail. And you say, well, what was he doing with a rusty nail? He slammed it on the table and he said, if I give you the price you want, can we nail this deal down right now today?
That's awesome.
And it was funny. It was a great prop. But so we put the deal together, and he knew I was ready to walk, and he pulled out his rusty nail, and the rest is history. I drove out of the dealership with a red Toyota Celica 5-speed little cool little vehicle. So, you know, there you have it. And now I'm going to give you a bonus secret.
Yes.
The bonus secret for all of you business owners out there, if all of this seems a bit much and all of it seems a bit overwhelming, and frankly, you just don't have the personality or the wherewithal to negotiate, get an expert. The same reason you hire an accountant to do your taxes or a lawyer to represent you in court, or in your legal matters, hire an expert to negotiate whatever it is you need to negotiate when it's appropriate. I think you can apply these seven secrets that I've just laid out on your own, and you don't need an expert. But on occasion, you might feel like you want one. So hire an expert. That's my bonus secret. If all else is not feeling right, hire an expert. So, Dave, my seven secrets, my bonus secret. Let me, if I may, give people a place to get a hold of me if they want the video, because if they go to the site right now, the video is not loaded yet. But, by the way, the website is profitplayer.net. You can go there and check out the site, but the Seven Secret video is not yet loaded in the queue, so you won't be able to get it. If you do want the video, simply email me, Scotty, SCOTTYSAKS at gmail.com, and I will put you on the list to send you the video, The Seven Secrets of Negotiating, and we'll look forward to helping you negotiate your next deal.
Well, Scotty, this is excellent because I think that's such a great skill. The seven steps, like you said, is a system. People can follow it. They can immediately increase their success by following this. And again, it's what is it? Profitplayer.net is the website?
Yes, and scottysacks@gmail.com. And let me say this. My system is not the only one. My system is not, you know, entirely the be-all, end-all, but I can tell you my system works as evidence is of my 32 years in my business. So,
no doubt about it. Scotty Sachs, thank you so much. And are we going to hear from you tomorrow on Breakthrough Sports?
We will see tomorrow. We're going to shoot for another 5-0 week. You know, it's harder on a Wednesday to pick them than it is on a Friday, but let's go for it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scotty Sachs. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 o'clock on Breakthrough Sports. And stay tuned for the Real Estate Panel Special Edition, What's Up Phoenix, starring Chris Gray. We'll be right back.
.net 1010 KXXT
Tolleson, Phoenix.